morning. How y'all doing? Happy New Year to you. It is. It's a new year. And I used to hear my parents talk about the fact that, you know, as you get older, time just kind of like goes faster and faster and faster, you know. It's true. Cannot believe it's another new year. And you know what? I'm just really excited about this next year. For the last few weeks, and I don't know how to explain it, and it may be prophetic, it may be just for me, but I don't believe so. I think it is broader than just for me. But I think this year, is going to be a tremendous year. I am seeing in my spirit, I'm just seeing things that have been bottled up that's going to be released. Things that we've prayed for, that we've not seen yet fulfilled, that is going to be fulfilled in this year. I think that there is going to be the prosperity of the righteous. That was my sermon title this morning, The Prosperity of the Righteous. But it's birthed out of several things that God has been doing inside of my own heart and my own life. You know, we've had a series of sermons that Pastor David has been preaching about the honor of prosperity. And one of the verses that he used was out of Proverbs chapter 10, which talked about that the blessings of the Lord makes one rich. And I don't know about you, but I just believe that this is going to be a year of blessings. This is going to be a year of prosperity, not just financially, but maybe financially, but that God is going to do just great things in each of us. And you know what happens is that as God blesses us and as things are opened unto us, then our families prosper and this church prospers and the kingdom prospers because of what God is doing. And I'm just excited about it. I really am. I was thinking, I'm just expecting great things. Last Sunday, Pastor David in his sermon was talking about prosperity as far as our debt and saying, you know, if we were not satisfied with our current level of debt, to stand up. And I actually stood up. And it was a little bit strange because over the last couple of years, God has enabled my wife and I to get out of consumer debt. We're just like, yay. It's one of the reasons why I drive a 93 pickup truck. But we're out of debt. And, you know, and that's a good thing. But I stood up because I still have a mortgage. And I thought, God, would you bless me this year that I wouldn't even have to have a mortgage? Wow, that would be a total, absolute miracle. You could take my salary and quadruple it, and I still couldn't pay off my mortgage. But I believe that God is so big, and what we sang about this morning, that nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible with God. And so I'm looking for these blessings. And over the last couple weeks, as I mentioned, God has been just churning things in me. And in fact, I really have been camping around Proverbs chapter 10. And in Proverbs chapter 10, there is this parallel between the righteous and the wicked. And in Proverbs 10, we see these blessings of the righteous, and we see the not-so-blessings that happen to the wicked. And so it's blessings of righteousness, not blessings of wickedness. You know, the righteous, the wicked, the righteous, the wicked. Some 12 times it's mentioned in Proverbs chapter 10. And it kind of frustrated me in a way, because I said, I wish there was like a middle point, like the almost righteous but not perfect. Or the not so wicked, but not quite all wicked, you know. But there's no middle ground. It was either the righteous or the wicked. And what was interesting is that I began to ask questions. And this may sound a little strange, but I said, you know what? Am I the righteous? You know, it's an interesting question when you start asking, what is the righteous? What is righteousness? In fact, let me just do some participatory thing here. If I say the word righteous or righteousness, what are some words or phrases that come to your mind? Just speak them out. Right with God? Integrity? Right relationship? What else? Holiness? What was that Jesus said? Okay, holiness. Oh yeah, there's many different words that come to mind when we think about righteousness. But actually the word is really, it's not so much virtue as some people may think of righteousness as virtuous and being righteous, puffed up, holy, and that kind of stuff. But it really is both, it has its roots both in like in law, like rules and law, and covenant inside relationship. And in fact, people can be declared righteous. It's sort of like, does someone meet the standard of what is acceptable in both law, a right standing in law, but also in behavior? And let me just do just a silly example. This is very simple, but sort of like our court system. Let me see. Jen, could you come up here a second? So let's say Jen is brought before the judge. And guess who's the judge? You may not want that, but okay. For this illustration, I am the judge. Now, we have to understand that righteousness means that if someone is going to be declared by a judge as righteous or unrighteous, the judge himself has to be righteous, because he has to be obedient to the law. He has to be beyond his own prejudice, his own partiality. He has to do what is right. So you've got a righteous judge. You have someone who has been accused of unrighteousness. So what the judge does is the judge takes in all the information of all the accusation of Jen and her behavior and her conformity to the law, and he checks the tablet of the law. And he hears the witness, and he says, no, you haven't broken the law, and your behavior is according to what is acceptable. So you are declared righteous by the judge. So let's all applaud Jen. She's a righteous person. All right. Now, let me do case two. Jared, come up here. Jared's been dreading this moment as he stands before me, his judge. No, she got to stand before the judge. So Jared is accused of unrighteous behavior, of breaking the rules, of breaking the law. Okay, but there's accusations against him, and the judge looks and he says, yeah, you did that one. You didn't do that one. You should have done this one. And so the judge takes in all the witness and he declares him unrighteous. Stone him. Wow.
I've got quite the reputation, as you can see.
Well, you see, under the law, there's also a penalty for unrighteousness. Okay? And so the law says there's a penalty for your unrighteousness, and let's say the penalty in this example is 5 seconds of really hard labor. So I want you to go over there and do 5 seconds of really hard labor. Okay, go, hurry up, come on. He's slow in doing his labor. No, labor, Jared! Okay, 1, 2, yes, okay. All right, so Jared fulfills, under the law, he fulfills the punishment that was declared by the law, and because of his behavior, he fulfills the punishment, and then according to the law, since that punishment has been fulfilled, the judge then now declares him as righteous because he fulfilled the punishment, okay? So now Jared's now righteous, so you can applaud.
All I have to do is push-ups?
All you have to do is push-ups, that's right. Okay, case number three. I'm going to ask my wife to come up here. This is dangerous, folk. This is dangerous. So let's do it this way. Let's switch a little bit and say this is like the court of heaven. And God being the judge, God is a righteous judge. And God cannot go against his law and what he set down, that there is punishment for sin. And we all know that according to what the word says, and we all know our own lives, that none of us are righteous, right? None of us can act righteously. We're not perfect. And the judge knows this about Joy, that she comes to him unrighteous, in an unrighteous state. But there's something that happens in the court of heaven. And Matt, can you come up here? Matt gets to be Jesus today, okay? He sort of got the beard. Okay, so in this court of heaven, the judge, God, looks at the law and says, Joy is guilty of sinning against the law. But there's something that happens here. Jesus was sent to take the punishment according to the law. And so Jesus is crucified. Okay, crucify yourself. Come on. Okay. Thank you, Matt. And so the judge sees that the punishment has been fulfilled according to the law. And the judge declares Joy righteous. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And not only that, there's something that's just amazing that happens. Many of you may have known or know in the court of laws here, there's this term called expunged. Which what it means is that anything that you were accused of, you're not only righteous, but it's completely removed from your record. In fact, nobody can point to it that you ever even did that. And so Jesus, because of Jesus' death, the unrighteousness of Joy has been expunged from the record. God never looks upon Joy and sees unrighteousness. He only sees righteousness because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's simple, but isn't that amazing? Thank you, Joy. And not only does he expunge the record, but covenant also means relationship, that he actually becomes in covenant with the one who was accused. The one who's accused becomes his bride. And they live in covenant relationship because of Jesus Christ. That is what righteousness is. And you see, just as in the natural, when I married my wife, she immediately became my wife. And even though we've been married for more than 25 years, she's no more my wife today than she was 25 years ago. She is my wife with all the privileges and the benefits and all that that comes from being my wife. Well, it's true. And that's the same way with us and the righteousness that God imparts to us through Jesus Christ. You see, I cannot be righteous in my own. The scribes and the Pharisees tried to build in a method for righteousness by their behavior. But Jesus says, I declare, God says, because of Jesus Christ, you are already declared righteous right from the moment you accept Jesus Christ. That's what we were celebrating in the baptism this morning, is those who declare Jesus as their Lord, and immediately all the past has been removed. They are declared by God as righteous. The record has been expunged. It's gone, never more to be remembered. And with that, we can have that understanding is so important, because when I ask the question, if I ask the question right now, are you righteous? If you've accepted Christ, your answer should be yes. And in 2015, I want to encourage you to understand that there is the assurance that you are righteous if you've accepted Christ. You can be righteous. And with that righteousness, the blessings, the prosperity of the righteous is yours. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us," what we showed here, "that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So I want to encourage you for 2015, beginning today, be righteous. Be righteous. If you've never accepted Christ, today's the day. Be righteous. But because righteousness also deals with covenant, there are blessings that come from relationship. There are blessings that come from covenant, just like the blessing that comes from the covenant I have with my wife. It's not just a matter of law that I am married to my wife. It's a matter of covenant that my wife and I are husband and wife. And with that comes blessings that are far beyond the law. So in 2015, I want to encourage you to anticipate and expect in your life the blessings of the righteous. The assurance is that you are righteous. The expectation and the hope should be for the blessings of the righteous. Now I'm going to go very quickly over some verses in Proverbs chapter 10. This is not a complete list of the blessings of the righteous. This is only a partial list, but I thought it was very interesting as I was reading through this chapter because it hits so many different areas of life. Let's go through a few verses. Verse 3, it says, "The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish." In other words, I will have a satisfied soul. Now, without getting into a whole lot of discussion on this, the soul really is your mind, your will, your emotions. You see, when your spirit man is not in right relationship with God, your soul tries to compensate for that with your mind and your emotions and everything like that. But I'm not going to go into that detail. But let me tell you this. When you're in right relationship with God, when you're in covenant through Jesus Christ, the blessings of that relationship, the blessings of the covenant is that your mind, will, and emotions can be at peace. They can be well fed, well nourished. You're not out searching for stuff to satisfy you. Because the blessings of the righteous is that your soul is filled. It's satisfied. Verse 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. In other words, I will be blessed and anointed. It's a promise of the righteous. Not only blessed, but anointed. There was a reason why it said the on the head, because it really alluded to the fact that anointing came and flowed from the head down. Blessings flowed from the head down. Priests received the anointing of God. The oil was broken over their head, it flowed out, and it was anointing so that the blessings would flow from them. So it's not just that I am blessed, it's that I have the anointing to bless others. That my household can be blessed because of the anointing and the blessing over me, even if they're unbelievers. That the blessing can flow from me. That in my business can prosper because of the blessing that has been poured over me because I am the righteous. It is a promise of God to the righteous. That anointing, that blessing. Verse 7, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Now, it's not talking about that I won't forget. But what it's talking about is legacy. Generations who follow me will speak well of me. That's the blessing of the righteous. I was thinking about that. I had this watch, and this watch is very special to me. And in fact, my This watch was my dad's. My dad died last year, and this was the first Christmas without him. And my mom gave me this watch that was his. It has a lot of different meanings to it, which I won't go into today. But he got this watch in the early 1950s when he was stationed up in Anchorage, Alaska. He was in the Air Force. He was up there, and it was before Alaska was even a state. And it was before he even married my mom. And he bought this watch, and it still works, which is really cool. And my mom gave it to me for Christmas, and I put it on, and it causes me to remember my dad. Now, my dad was not a perfect man, but my dad was a righteous man. My memories of him are good. The memories of my children, his grandchildren, are good. The remembrance of my dad is blessed in generations. And you see, that is a blessing that is afforded to the righteous, that when we are long gone, people will speak well of us. That is a blessing, and I want that blessing in my own life. Let's look at verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. In other words, I will speak words of life. Sort of like what Jesus said. It said, out of Jesus flowed living water. I want to have the blessing of God being the righteous. I want to have the blessing of God that brings life to those around me. That it flows out of me. That out of my mouth flows words that bring life and not death. And that is a blessing of the righteous. Let's go to verse 16. The labor of the righteous leads to life. In other words, my labor will supply good things, but will supply good things for others. In other words, I have fruitful labor. That's the blessings of the righteous. That what I put my hands to not only satisfies the need of my own life, but becomes fruitful and reproduces itself and provides blessings to others around me. So that my labor is not just for me, but when I labor, the blessing of being a righteous person is that my labor is fruitful. It's sort of like a businessman. A righteous businessman who produces something that produces more jobs and more income and blessings to multiple families. That is part of the blessing of the righteous, that fruitful labor. Verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. In fact, I look at this as saying that what I speak, silver being valuable, what comes out over my tongue is valuable. I speak valuable things. I don't speak trash. Let's be practical here. That as righteous people, the blessing of the Lord is that what rolls off my tongue should be considered valuable by those who hear it, and not trash. It is part of the blessing of the righteous. Verse 21, that the lips of the righteous feed many. That I will have the ability, the blessing, to give wise counsel to those who ask of me. Have you ever thought about that? That your gift to give wise counsel is a blessing of the righteous. Verse 24, the desire of the righteous will be granted. And this is interesting because righteousness is all about covenant and relationship. That when I'm in relationship with God, when I have that intimacy with God, when we become one, when we begin to work together as one, my desires become a reflection of his desires. That my heart and his heart are meshed, and that I begin to desire the things that he desires. And that because I am blessed as a righteous one, that those desires I will see come to pass I will see that happen as a result of righteousness in my life. But it doesn't just stop with those blessings. Verse 25 says, the righteous has an everlasting foundation. In other words, my foundation is secure. I really believe that this is going to be a year, a tremendous year of opening up and of prosperity and of great things that are going to happen in our lives. And there's going to be much good testimony. But I'm not saying that we're not going to have times where the wind is blowing and the storms are raging and the earth seems to be shaking some. That is part of life here on earth. But what this blessing means is that no matter what's happening around me, no matter how shaky the earth feels under my feet, no matter how hard the wind is blowing against me, my foundation is secure. I don't have to be blown away. I don't have to be moved, because the blessing of the righteous is a sure foundation. Verse 28, the hope of the righteous will be gladness. I read that, and this is what just bubbled out of me. You see, the hope of the righteous, the waiting, the hope, the anticipation of the righteous will be done and can be done with joy. I will have joy in waiting. Ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how joyful is your waiting on God? Or are you grumbling and complaining? The blessing of the righteous is that even in waiting on God, there will be gladness and there will be joy. And then finally, verse 30, the righteous will never be removed. In other words, I am going to live forever. This isn't my home. That's a blessing that it doesn't end here. In fact, it just begins here. But the blessing of the righteous is that I am secure and I am going to live forever in relationship with the one who has redeemed me and called me into righteousness. You see, the righteous are so because they've been declared by God as righteous. However, and this is the part we sometimes don't talk about very often. As the righteous, we are called to act righteously. Ooh. So if I ask the question, are you righteous? Most of you who know Christ would say, yes, I'm righteous. If I ask the question, do you act righteously? Sometimes, I heard it over there. Yeah, that would be most of our, sometimes I saw a hand go like this, and you know, how many is above 50%? You know, that it's the reality. Even though we're called to be righteous, we're called to live righteously, and that sometimes is a struggle for us because here's the issue for me, and this is what God sort of challenged me with over the last few weeks. I have, because of my relationship with God, I am called righteous, and I can anticipate the righteous blessings from God. But sometimes my actions can nullify God's blessing. Doesn't mean God wants to take them away. It means that I put a stop to them by my actions. It's like going back to the example of my father. I would not have a good memory of him if my father's life was filled with anger and hostility, if he beat my mother and didn't provide for me as a child. His actions would nullify the blessings of what God wanted to do through him. As a righteous person, as the righteous, our labor is to be fruitful. But if you're slothful in your work, and you think you can just get by with doing the minimum, you're not acting righteously. And you nullify the blessings that God wants to give you, even in your labor. My words are supposed to give very valuable valuable gift and a valuable treasure to those around me. But if I'm a potty mouth all the time, cursing, slanders, talking evil of those around me, never happy, never satisfied, always negative. You see, I nullify the blessing of being the righteous by my actions. So this is the challenge that God gave me, and I'm going to challenge you in the same way. It's an assignment. The assignment is raise the bar, do righteous things in 2015. Be righteous, but do things righteously. It's the call. It's the standard to act not only because we are righteous, but to act who we are called to be. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy talks about our pursuing righteousness. We go after righteousness. It doesn't happen automatically because we are called righteous. We pursue righteousness. Because we know Romans 8 tells us that we cannot do anything to please God. Now you see, there's a difference in the Old Testament where the scribes and the Pharisees, they were trying to earn their righteousness by their behavior. And Jesus comes and he upsets all of that. And because of him, we are automatically declared righteous. Boom. Instantaneously, we are declared righteous. But it doesn't nullify the fact that we are supposed to still act righteously. We act righteously not to earn our righteousness, but because we want to bring glory to God who has called us righteous. That is our call. See, righteousness under the new covenant is actually a higher standard. It's actually a higher call. And I encourage you sometime, jot down Matthew 5. And I want you just over the next couple weeks, read Matthew 5. Because Matthew 5 is what Jesus used to illustrate how we are to live our lives as righteous. And it is tough. You remember the story in Matthew 5. Jesus goes to the scribes and Pharisees and he says, you know it's written, it's in the law that you're not to commit adultery. But I say to you, Jesus, that even if you look upon someone with that intent in your heart, you've already done it. Whew. That is such a higher call. It's not only our actions, but our heart and our will and our intent. It's righteousness that Jesus has now set a standard. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, it's also where we call the Beatitudes. And, you know, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the humble, blessed are the meek. Goes on and on. And he says, he also says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That we will be blessed when we go after it, when we pursue it. And all along, Jesus, in his time on earth, you had the scribes and the Pharisees that were pointing to the law and everything that Jesus was doing that was against some of the things that were sort of tradition and sort of the religious stuff. I mean, Jesus came in. I mean, goodness gracious, he broke the Sabbath. He did. He healed on the Sabbath. He hung around sinners. Which was a no-no. He did all this kind of stuff. And the scribes and the Pharisees were always talking about the law, the law, the law, the rules, the regulations. We're doing all of these things. And Jesus was talking about forgiveness and grace and mercy. But he didn't end there. He pulled it back in. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth is passed away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass until all the law is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not even enter into heaven. That's tough. But we're called to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that Jesus sets the bar for us. He does. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about Christ who suffered for us, leaving us as an example to follow in his footsteps. And it says, for he who bore our sins in his own body on the tree did so that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. You see, the living right is what God calls us to. And when I look upon the righteousness of God, and I look upon my own righteousness, and I can in all assurance declare, I am righteous because I have accepted Christ. But when I look upon my behavior sometimes, when I look upon my actions at times, that's when I go, oh, I'm not living up to the standard. In fact, I can never live up to the standard. If I could, I wouldn't need Jesus. But I also wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. Matthew 5 showed us how we're to live and how we're to behave and how we're to operate as kingdom people. Galatians 5, write that down under Matthew 5 because you got to put both of them together. Galatians 5 explains how we do it. And how we do it is we walk by the Spirit. In fact, in Galatians 5, it talks about walking in the Spirit, that in walking in the Spirit, I don't fulfill that which comes so natural in my flesh. That's which comes as a result of my fallen nature, that I'm not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the only way I can do that is by walking in the Spirit. And that's why that connection with God, the intimacy with God, being filled with his Spirit is so vital. It's not just saying a prayer and accepting Christ. It's walking out a lifestyle, pursuing righteousness because of the intimacy that I have with God, and walking a righteous life, not because I can do it on my own, but because of the Holy Spirit who helps me to live righteously. We all start with a big veil over our heads. But the Holy Spirit enables us to walk righteously, not only to avoid sin, not only to avoid behavior that can nullify the blessings of God, but also to walk in the behavior that brings glory to God, like in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is part of what we're called to be, and we cannot do all any of that without the Holy Spirit being with us. Can you imagine what our homes would look like if next year, this year, we increased our righteousness? Wow. I'm not talking about just doing good things. Talking about actually living a life of righteousness because of the Holy Spirit empowering us. What would it be like in our relationships with our spouse if we bless each other more than speaking curses over each other? What would happen in our workplace is if we worked in righteousness, giving an honest day's work for an honest paycheck, what would it look like in our children's lives if we spoke words of blessing upon them and blessed them? And they didn't hear us complaining and grumbling and cursing. You see, these are real things in our lives, folk. I believe that the windows of heaven would be open to such a greater degree in your lives, in your homes, and consequently in this church and in this community, that the kingdom of God would just explode in blessing because of the righteousness, the righteous, you and me, actually walking in righteousness. That's your challenge. I want you to think about this. This is not a New Year's resolution, because New Year's resolutions usually end about February 14th. You all laugh because you know it. Some of you started your New Year's resolutions. Yeah. You'll eat well today, but 5 weeks from now, yeah. Anyway, there is a call upon our lives as the righteous. And it's not because God wants us to abide by a bunch of rules and laws and all that. He wants to bless us. And folks, I love you. I want to see you and me and my family blessed. I don't want anything to stop the flow of the blessings of God in 2015 in our lives. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a blessed year. It's going to be a year where the righteous will prosper. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the assurance of our righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that it is nothing that we could earn on our own, because we know we're all declared guilty. But I thank you, Lord, for Jesus, that he paid the price for me, that through him I no longer have to wonder or wander, and that I don't have to question my righteousness, but that I am declared righteous. And Father, if there's anyone in this room today that they now understand that they're not righteous because they've never accepted Christ as the payment for their sin, I pray that today, this first Sunday in this new year, that they too will become righteous. And if that's you today, just with your eyes closed, just raise your hand and say, you know what? I want to be righteous. I'm not living righteously right now, but I want to be righteous because of Jesus Christ. If that's you, if you could just raise your hand, I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray with you. Okay. Okay, if you can open your eyes. And I just want to just put it right down in your lap. And you got to do something with it. I believe that the Holy Spirit continues and has and is continuing to speak, where those of you who are righteous, you've realized that maybe in areas of your life you struggle and you've really not lived righteously. And I want you right now, just with God, his Holy Spirit. See, his Holy Spirit also illuminates the areas where we fall short, but it also becomes our helper. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking you right now to reveal to the righteous here in this room areas of their lives that have fallen short in righteousness, that the standard is not very high. And Father, I'm asking that it would not be just a resolution in their hearts and their minds, but it would literally be a covenant with you that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that from this day forward, they will pursue righteousness in that area of their life. So folks, it may be one, it may be two, it may be more, I don't know. So just do some business with Holy Spirit. Be honest. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for the assurance of our righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that as righteous people, we can expect the blessings of the righteous. And Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit can help us in this year to do more righteous things than we've ever done before in our lives. Not so we can pat ourselves on the back, but that blessings would flow in us and through us and around us that bring glory and honor to God, that expand the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. So, Lord, I pray for that for my brothers and sisters today. Thank you, Lord. Could you stand, please? I want to ask our altar ministry team to come forward. And as you are released today, if there is additional prayer that you would like to have someone just agree with you in prayer, you feel free, once you're released, to come forward. If there's areas of healing in your body or just ministry that you would like God to touch you, the altar ministers are up here this morning, and they'll be glad to pray with you. May you be blessed today, and may your year prosper in righteousness, you righteous ones.
Let's pray. God, we